Hi, everyone. This is Mike Wolf, host of The Smart Kitchen Show. And today's episode is an interview with Steve Chen, co-founder of YouTube, and Vijay Karunamurthy, who worked with Steve, about their new food storytelling community called Nom. As some of you know who listened to the last episode, we started season 2, episode 1, where we're going to try and track in storytelling format my journeys and other people's journeys through the smart kitchen world and this intersection of food and technology. And while we were going to do lots of these great storytelling episodes, we want to do more quick turnaround interviews so you can get information fast about news that's happening in the space as well. I talked to Steve and Vijay a couple weeks ago. I had heard about Nom through their South by Southwest panel they're having. So I reached out to them and I was the first interview they had about their new company. And I did it under embargo and I've been holding onto this podcast for a few weeks. So I hope you enjoy it. They talked to me on a speakerphone, so the sound quality is not great, but you should listen to it because what they're trying to do is create an online storytelling community for food lovers to share their story through video, through photos, through podcasts, and other content. So listen to it, hear what they're doing, check it out. You can find them online at nom.com. If you want to listen to more Smart Kitchen shows, just go to smartkitchensummit.com/show. We'll have another podcast this week where I talk with Mike Wallace, who's the co-founder of Perfect Company, and we're going to catch up on what happened at the Houseware show. I saw Mike there, and Smart Kitchen was peeking its head up at the Houseware show, and we're going to talk about all that happened and what we saw there. So stay tuned. All right, folks, enjoy the podcast. Welcome to the Smart Kitchen Show. My name is Mike Wolf. The Smart Kitchen Show is a podcast about the kitchen, technology, and food, and the story of a conference that brings all those things together. I'm your host, Michael Wolf, and I put this podcast together because in the process of creating the Smart Kitchen Summit, I've been meeting lots of great folks that I thought you should hear from too. If you'd like to listen to more Smart Kitchen shows, you can find them in iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can also go to smartkitchensummit.com/show. The Smart Kitchen Summit will be back in 2016 on October 5th and 6th in Seattle. If you'd like to go, just go to smartkitchensummit.com for more information. And now, on to the show. Hey, well, I'm very excited to have Vijay Karunamurthy and Steve Chen of Nom on the show today. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you because you guys are founding a new company, which at this point in time, I don't know a whole lot about other than what has been written on the description for your South by Southwest chat or talk, Steve. Why don't you tell us what Nom is? What's the elevator pitch for Nom?
Sure. Nom is a place for food lovers. I think if you've ever taken a picture of your dinner, Nom is a place for you. If you've ever wanted to host your own cooking show, Nom is for you. And, of course, if chef whites are your working uniform, Nom is for you. Vijay and I, we've known each other for over 25 years. We went to the same high school, college, and we worked together for a number of years at YouTube. And after the acquisition of YouTube by Google, we started meeting up regularly to talk about ideas, and they were generally at the cafes at Google. And during one of these lunches that we met up, we realized that most of our conversations seemed to be about the food that we were eating or starting a new company. So that's where we had the idea for Nom, a product that was built around a community of food lovers.
And you guys will be basically allowing people to create essentially their own online channels to talk about any type of food content. How's it going to work?
That's right. We think of channels as a way to empower content creators. So in the world of people who create content, often it's a collaborative process of people, you know, maybe create the restaurant together, and you have a head chef, and you have the sommeliers, and you have the front of house staff. And that's almost like a form of content they're creating on the world. We find that true for video or for shows or any sort of content that needs to reach an audience. And the examples of the content that we're thinking about are rich textured live shows. So in addition to just being live on camera, there's also ways you can incorporate recorded clips, GIFs, photos, all sorts of ways of expressing your opinion or your point of view throughout a live broadcast. And also trying to find a way to integrate that in a way that the viewer can feel connection to you as a creator. So we found working with some of these amazing chefs, they wanted to establish a deeper connection with their audience. And providing them the tools to do that is something that chefs have been asking for us from the beginning of us working on this product. So a lot of what we built has really been to empower these people to teach an amazing cooking show or explain a technique or kind of, you know, elaborate on an idea that they've been throwing out there in the world and they need to actually engage with the audience in order to flesh out.
You know, when we talked about video at the Smart Kitchen Summit, I had Chris Young from Chef Steps, and I think they've done a remarkable job leveraging YouTube as a way to basically educate consumers or people who want to become better cooks. And video and YouTube in particular has been such an amazing thing for people just to learn new crafts or new expertise. And so you guys are looking to, I imagine, taking this beyond that, though, adding elements of interactivity, live type of things. One of the things I described it as potentially in my mind was maybe this was like a Twitch for cooking. Is Twitch for cooking like a good description, or is that off?
That's a good place to start, but it's actually a lot more than that. So, you know, in addition to just streaming the live video, if you actually wanted to teach someone how to make an amazing steak, you probably would be unable to do that just by turning on a camera and starting to talk from your kitchen.
Right.
We need the ability for someone to instruct an audience through sharing content, and that content could be, you know, all the pre-recorded steps of how you do this amazing steak recipe. And you share that as part of a live show, and people can ask questions and get live feedback while the show is going on. And the form of the questions themselves are, there are also video clips and photos that the audience is sharing. We're finding an easy way for the host to incorporate those into a live broadcast. So it becomes more of a two-way communication channel rather than just a simple, you know, here's 20 minutes of how I grill a steak.
It sounds like a lot of the focus is on live content, interactive content, but I would imagine that there's going to be archived videos for people can then put up there. For example, they do a great lesson on how to do making great pie crusts or how to do sous vide cooking. You know, they can create essentially a course.
Yeah, we archive all the videos that people have uploaded or filmed live or recorded. And also people do podcasts and audio-only content. We save that in the channel too. So the channel has kind of become a place where you can explore a subject and delve deeper into it. You kind of see the full history of how this creator has thought about their subject over time. And we hope that library grows and we become the place to go to that delve into any one of these subjects where you just, you're inspired by a topic and you need to find out more.
Yeah. This is Steve here. I think Vijay just mentioned the product feature we have with channels. This is one particular area of the site that I'm pretty excited about. I think that the idea here is, you know, in San Francisco, there are a few, three Michelin star restaurants. And so, for example, a restaurant like Venue, they would actually have their own channel, and they would have their sous chef, they would have their, you know, pastry chef, they would have their three sommeliers, and of course executive chef Corey Lee himself. They would all be part of this Venue channel. They would occasionally be hosting live shows, explaining about the sort of the background of the restaurant, talking about how they sort of came up with the sort of these recipes for what they've done, but then the best part about it being live is that you get to actually interact. And so if you're either someone that's from San Francisco that's actually had a dinner there, or if you're halfway around the world, you can actually tune in and ask Corey questions about anything that you wanted to ask about. And this is just not something that you can actually get through the Food Channel on TV or through just sort of a YouTube video that you're watching, but you hardly get to engage with the author, the creators of this content.
Would you expect some people would almost keep like a, take a life logging approach where they would restaurant logging or cook logging where they would just keep a continuous stream going if you wanted to know what's going on in the kitchen of this Michelin star restaurant? Or is it mainly going to be scheduled type of approaches where people are scheduling the show? This is what they're going to do for half an hour and then it's off.
Well, I think we are not imposing any limitations on
right.
the channels that get created. So, there can be channels that are created for restaurants, and you would have, you know, what we talked about, everybody that was part of the staff of the restaurant be able to participate, contribute, and answer questions and create live shows. But then you can have people that are into, I'm really into coffee, so we have a channel that's devoted to just coffee fans. But then at the same time, we would have a channel that's devoted to, say, Blue Bottle or Sight Glass Coffee in San Francisco. And then we would have, you know, people that are into ceramic grilling out in the backyard. And so there's all sorts of different ways that these channels can get formed and created, but it's essentially under sort of this umbrella theme of whether it's a restaurant, whether it's the style of cooking, the region of cooking, and anybody that's interested in that area can converge and talk about it and actually post their own content.
What if someone did like a like an interview show or like a show where you said there's a high degree of interactivity, does there need to be, I'm just kind of curious to the specifics of the site. Are people needing to register for accounts, or is it fairly low friction where, hey, some chef tweets it out and then people can just arrive and honestly and start interacting? How does that, what is your approach towards, I guess, privacy and registration?
This is BJ. To start with, all the content you discover on the site is public, and you can come in as a viewer anytime. So we've made it really simple for that chef to tweet out or post to Instagram a link to their upcoming show and just build an audience that way. We're exploring features where you can collaborate with the team and try to use it just within your team. But to start off with, all the content we have, we want it to be public, and we want to build this library of amazing content, all focused around food, so that when you come to the site, you have an amazing experience of delving into subjects that you really care about.
One thing here, and this is Steve, I think that a collaboration just on a site as well as in any restaurant is a big deal. And one of the things that we try to bring that collaboration piece onto the site is, so we talk about channels, but channels are not owned by a single person. They're always sort of co-owned, co-edited. And so, again, going back to the idea of a restaurant that's actually run by 15, 20 people, the person that originally creates this channel on Nom is easily able to invite other people to collaborate and add content under this channel. So it's not just one person that's creating shows or uploading photos or uploading video clips or uploading or, you know, creating content that they think is interesting. Anybody that's part of that team is able to participate and add to that channel. So it's a very collaborative experience, and hopefully this ends up being a place where everybody that works at that restaurant or has eaten at that restaurant ends up going to find content that's coming from the people that have eaten there or the people that's creating the food there.
You guys are doing early programming, and in a sense you've gotten early folks to create content for, I imagine, when you guys launch. Talk about that process. How did you decide on some of the personalities or some of the content you wanted to program?
That's a great question. We've been working with some amazing chefs here in San Francisco, and that's kind of been the start of how we thought about who we want to be making content on the site. So some of the chefs that we start off with in the very early days, you know, include Corey Lee at Venue, who's also opening up a food experience at SF Noma soon. And just seeing him operate with his staff has really inspired us. And he actually, you know, inspired a lot of teachers on the site just thinking through what it takes to launch a restaurant like Venue, which is 3 Michelin stars at the top of its game. It took amazing discipline to get out the door. Any 3 Michelin star restaurant is so much of a collaborative process that the whole team needs to understand and be on the same page of what Corey's vision is in order to bring that vision to life. And we've then found, you know, beyond the 3 Michelin star rarefied world of chefs, even individual YouTube creators that are making great videos also have that collaborative gene in them. So they think about the on-camera personality, but also people that are editing the videos and people that are, you know, reaching out to the community and getting ideas for the next video that they do. We wanted to make sure that we built channels around that creative process of how you make content for people. So, you know, we're starting off with amazing Michelin star chefs. We've got Master Sommeliers in San Francisco. Folks like Tim Hollingworth opened a podium down in L.A. We've been working with Michael Tuff and other great chefs in San Francisco and in New York. But we also are really inspired by people that create great content on YouTube and actually are sharing YouTube videos today, but they don't have this channel to connect with audience. So I can also list off some other needs of chefs, but maybe Steve can go into that.
Well, yeah, no, this, this is Steve talking. I think in the last few years, especially after YouTube, met some really interesting people. But I always find myself just most immersed whenever sitting at the other end of the table is someone that's in the food industry. And it's just usually the typical conversation is just me helping them with questions and asking them how it works to create either to sommelier, asking them how it is to make an actual proper cappuccino with the right amount of sort of latte art at the top to... We were going up to Napa and seeing how it was like to actually create the wine, the red wine, and what that whole process was like, to what it's like. It's just so different than what an industrial Michelin star kitchen and how it works as a team to create the dishes one after another. And so for me, sure, this is more selfishly, but it's just to be able to create. I'm hoping that there are other people that have shared the same curiosity and same interest in the kind of the background of food and try to recreate some of these experiences at home and trying to create a website and trying to create an application that allows people to be able to share this information and to be able to absorb this information.
You know, I think that a genre that would really work well for you guys is just the how-tos. I mean, I think that it's just aspirational for me to watch a Michelin chef, but just someone who is really good at making, like, how do I use my sous vide cooker, right, for the first time? Like, how do you do that for a steak or two? So someone who's just a great how-to person, like, I would imagine you'd be wanting those people as well.
No, I mean, I think that, yeah, the sous vide cooking is a great example. Like, after I had my first steak at French Laundry and found out how they made it, I went home and bought the Palatine sous vide machine as well as the vacuum sealer and tried to do it. And I found out that it was just much easier to get that steak to be the exact temperature that you wanted to be at. And, you know, I wouldn't have learned that had I not gone to French Laundry and had the option to be able to ask how the steak was prepared. And I think that with something like Nom, it gives everybody that has an interest in, well, I think everybody has an interest in perfectly cooking steaks to be able to tune in and ask questions.
You know, how much of your content came from people like, oh, wow, this person is just really good at this particular genre of food, or this person's got a lot of views? Were you guys doing a lot of recruiting kind of, or scouting the people who are doing well on creating videos out there on YouTube?
Yeah, that's actually, this is DJ, that's been actually a really fun and easier process than we thought. So, you know, as we've explored through the world of people that are doing great things on Instagram or creating Pinterest boards or using Snapchat in a creative way, we found these amazing people talking about food, and they actually have really new and interesting voices. So one of the amazing things about food is it shares so much of your background or your culture and even your personality. Like, if you are a natural comedian, you could be on camera talking about junk food and actually make that really fun and engaging. We've been trying to find these, like, amazing, interesting creators that are passionate about food and that explore that from all these different angles. And I think a lot of content that you see when we launched is actually really surprising to people. It's just how diverse the world of food is. So, you know, we've been talking about the Michelin star chef that we have, Master Sommelier. That's like a category of the food experience that's amazing, that people, I think, are going to find very aspirational. But I think people are also going to find a connection with the at-home chef who makes meals for kids every morning. And there are these amazing bento boxes that she makes. There's someone at a Bed and Breakfast in Vermont who makes amazing meals for guests every day. And she does, like, a Star Trek themed meal or a Game of Thrones themed meal for, like, different occasions. And just being able to participate with these people is, I think, for our audience, a very special opportunity, because every one of them has a unique personality and a unique voice. And just watching them on video is not enough. You kind of want to establish that connection with the person. And we find that the person on the other end of the camera also feels the same way, and they want to know who their audience is. So we found, like, as they've used the site and they've tried out their first video, they've all gotten really excited about what the potential is.
What about the, in terms of the company itself, you guys are the co-founder and the CEO. How big is the company? Are you guys self-funding it? Can you talk a little bit about the company itself?
Yeah, this is DJ. So we're still pretty small. We're based in San Francisco and Menlo Park. At the moment, we're under a dozen people. And so we kind of found this to be a passion project for us, where we were just really inspired by in the early days when we tried to grow the company to people that really care about. So it's actually been a bunch of our friends from YouTube and Facebook and PayPal that have joined on board to help us make this happen. Since then, you know, we've been talking about raising around this funding, and we just closed that late last year. So some of our investors include Blue Run Ventures, who we know through amazing stuff that they've done with us in the past. Lee Harper Group, which is an amazing group out of China. Cooklo Ventures, which has been very involved in the food space and has done a lot of food investments. SB Angel, who we've also, like, worked with for a long period of time. And just personal investors. Nate Tsai is one of the chefs that's participated. Tsai from South Korea is someone we're really excited. So I think you're going to see some great stuff on Korean bulgogi noodles that Tsai is going to broadcast for you once we launch.
Did you say Tsai is an investor?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Hopefully, I don't need to explain who that is. But, if you don't know, you should go to YouTube.
I do. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's interesting.
And this is Steve. Ty's kind of a personal friend. I mean, obviously through the YouTube connection, but many people don't know that his family actually has opened and runs a few restaurants in Korea. And so he's really into food. And I've eaten with him in Korean restaurants in L.A., and he's pretty much just always kind of customizing the menu so much that it's almost a different menu, just personalized for him. He's saying, can you bring out these two more ingredients and these three more sauces? And he just customizes the dishes so much. And so when we told him about the idea for Nam and what we were doing, he was really excited to be kind of our Asian connection, to be going to the restaurants that he goes to a lot in Korea and Hong Kong, and actually just post shows and post content, post photos, post videos from a lot of these restaurants in Asia. And it's just a different experience going to a restaurant with Sai than just going by yourself. So we're excited about some of the content that he's going to be contributing to the site.
So the cooking show of the future, you know, are you guys kind of seeing yourself as maybe the platform for the cooking show of the future? I mean, because we've seen the explosion of interest in food-related, just traditional linear television, cable television, et cetera. You know, my daughter's funny. She just likes to watch cooking shows. She doesn't really even cook. So I would imagine you guys are maybe envisioning, as you look forward, this could be a platform for all these people who are watching show on linear or cable TV. They may eventually want to watch it on Nam. Is this something you guys have been thinking about?
Well, I mean, I do think that there's a bit of kind of a similar audience there. You know, people that are interested in food are going to gravitate towards wherever there's food content. But I think the experiences, it's a little bit different. Instead of this kind of sit-back experience, it is kind of a lean-forward experience, just like YouTube was, to be able to kind of leave comments, being able to interact. But I think we're, if I were to say, compared to YouTube, even leaning further forward by being able to interact with the people that's behind the show. So imagine your daughter watching a show on the Food Network, but being able to real-time engage with the person that's creating. So it's not an edited show. It's not something that was taken maybe 6 months ago, but it's live now. They know that, she knows that this content creator is, they have their stove on right now, and they're actually creating this food right now, and they can ask them questions as to, you know, why is it that you add this sauce now rather than later?
Right.
Why is it that you don't add the sauce now versus later? And so I think that's the real key difference between what we're doing versus what you see in, on the Food Network or any of these food shows, and then even a food clip on YouTube.
To that point, it is a different medium, and I would imagine that one of the benefits could be for someone who puts content out there is they could monetize differently, right? So have you given thought to premium monetization, for example, subscription channels or kind of some sort of like monetization built into the platform for these guys?
I think we can just get an acquisition from Google, maybe. I think that the first part of this is still going to be getting content creators and viewers. I think our focus is building a cohesive product that people enjoy using. I think once you get that, the monetization always is a lot easier when you actually have people using the site. But I think if you actually prioritize the monetization as the first thing to go after, it's hard to actually create good content.
I'm talking about like someone like Patreon, right? So Patreon from the get-go is built in to allow makers to monetize through patrons, right? So I'm just wondering if you guys have thought about how people can get patrons and monetize other than through advertising.
Yeah, you know, we find what Patreon's done has been really inspiring. We're also trying to look at how we can reward makers for making amazing content. Sometimes it's, you know, months and months of work just to film your first video. We want to make sure that, you know, people feel rewarded for the work they do. So we're making sure that reward is both in terms of making an audience that they have. So if they're building a fan base on YouTube or Instagram, right now, you don't feel like you have any connection with the people that are watching your video, that are building your fan base. And so we hope Nam is a place that is complementary where you can do that. But we're also looking at ways where the audience can give back to those creators. So it might not be a subscription model. It might be more of a lightweight give back mechanism. We're exploring that with a few of our creators to see what works best for them. And hopefully you'll be able to see that over the next couple months on the site.
You know, there's been the rise of MCNs like Tastemade, for example, that I've been watching pretty closely, because I think, you know, they've been one of the most vibrant multi-channel networks out there. Have you guys been reaching out to any of these MCNs that are focused on video to see if they maybe want to cooperate with you guys, or maybe just talking to individual creators on those networks?
This is DJ. We've been talking to individual creators for the most part instead of doing a package deal with the MCN, although that is a very interesting development in the space. You know, we know people at YouTube that now work at MCNs, and they've done an amazing job of just helping content creators get started and then help them grow on these channels. What we've found is we're reaching out to individual creators. We're able to find people that have unique voices that haven't been found already. And we want to bring those people to the forefront. I think as much as we can, we come to the effort to say to see interesting new, whether it's quirky or whether it's like top tier and aspirational, you find something surprising on there. And so we've been individually reaching out to people in order to make that happen.
Hey, guys, well, this has been great talking to you about what you're doing, and I'm excited to see it. I'd love to, if you guys let any press in early, I'd love to check it out under embargo to see what you guys are cooking up. But, yeah, I can't wait to see what you guys have, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
Smart Kitchen Show is written and edited by me, Michael Wolf. Brought to you by Technology.fm, Next Market Insights, and the Smart Kitchen Summit. Special thanks to Steve Chen and Vijay Karunamurthy of NOM. All the music for today's show is created by Paul Tyan, T-Y-A-N. Check him out on SoundCloud. You can now find the Smart Kitchen Show on iTunes, or just go to smartkitchensummit.com/show. For Season 2, we hope to bring you lots more stories and different conversations and mix up the format a little bit. So stay tuned. And if you want to come to Smart Kitchen Summit, you know where to go, smartkitchensummit.com.